The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
We're back, final hour of the show. Can hardly believe that it's almost 5 minutes after 11 o'clock. I'm Randy Corcoran. Cannot tell you what a wonderful morning it's been for me. Not just the fun radio, which you know I enjoy so much all the time, but just the feedback for the conversation we had at the start of the show, first hour podcast now, about my dad and his passing and that experience, being in control of the morphine button, etc. Phones are on fire. One line is open, 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. I think we'll bring Steve Reams on here in about 15 minutes or so, but let's talk to you for a little while. Thank you so very much. We'll start with Mark in Aurora. Mark, hi.
How's it going, Rainey?
Doing well.
Quick thought for people on this, you know, us conservatives, we try to explain to people that it's good that you make and earn wealth. But this last 30 days, they're going to take $6 trillion of aid to recover for 1 month of a gross domestic product that is only $22 trillion. So that shows you that there's a 6, 7, 8-fold churning effect of the economy. So in other words, if you taxed all of the wealth of the top 1%, that'd be $25 trillion. You could run the government for just 5 years. Just call it 5 years. But then you wouldn't have any of that wealth. But when they deploy that, like I have for 40 years as a businessman, and you hire 60, 70, 80 people, you churn that money, and that goes to people that cut your lawn, that you think about.
Exactly.
And so the actual amount that they're, if you take 12 months of $6 trillion infusion, that's $72 trillion. And so what we're finding, what people are finding out, those of us that are conservative always known, is if you don't have people with capital to churn, in other words, if Boeing goes away, I think that Trump said this week that's 1% of the GDP.
But the escalation factor, have you ever read My Pencil? Are you familiar with it?
No.
I'll tell you, you would love it. Maybe I'll talk about this next week. We'll see what the priorities are come next Saturday. But My Pencil is this great story that talks about the production of a simple pencil and all of the different parts of the world. Yeah, all of the different parts of the world that contribute to the construction of a simple pencil that, you know, at the time was like a 5-cent thing. Now it's probably 30 cents or 50 cents. I don't know. But from the metal that holds the eraser to the rubber that makes the eraser to the paint to the different types of wood to the lead to all the manufacturing to all of the trucking, all of the hands-on, just every little bit of touching of different facets of the economy on something as simple as a pencil. It's a wonderful illustration of exactly what you're talking about. And so in light of all that, you know, I'm still trying to wrap my hands around the $2.2 trillion, 880-page bill
right.
That was voted on in with very little time to read or understand. What is your perspective on that?
Well, it's a necessary evil. Here's the thing. 29, the crash was created by bad policy and trade, and it wasn't the government's fault directly. This actually was. The government basically said, and 3.2 million people. Look, when you have, if you look how far down the amount of people at the height of 29 crash, the number of people that were unemployed, and this number, and next week's going to be probably two or three of that. it's a necessarily evil. The real question is, I think as far as governance goes, is how do we get back out to the economy safely? In other words, where the people that are well can get out and the people that are sick can stay in, so that we quit inflicting that damage, because you can harm this. The things that they did, the 32 crash was worse than the 29 crash. And everything the government did after that actually crippled the economy. So to infuse money into it, you know, they're looking for a real sharp uptick V-shaped recovery. And I don't see that they have any choice. And what you could do, Randy, is let this pass down through the states and cripple those people, but you'd just be doing rescue bills there.
Yeah. Fascinating, Mark. Really insightful comments. Thanks for waiting. Thanks for weighing in this morning on the show. Appreciate it.
Take care. Sorry about your dad.
I appreciate that, sir. Let's move on to Carol in Lakewood. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound fine.
Yeah, I just want to weigh in on the coronavirus issue. And you, your previous guest was talking about maybe some reasons why, you know, it might be worse in certain areas. I have, this is an article I have in front of me, that this Martin L. Pall. He's a professor emeritus of biochemistry and basic medical sciences from Washington State University, and he prepared a document. It was around February 18, 2020 of this year, and it's on electromagnetic fields and 5G effects on humans and the environment. And he's done a lot of studying on this, especially in Europe. And he is saying that the Wuhan, China, is China, that's the first 5G smart city and also the location of the 5G highway. And he, this is the epicenter of the this coronavirus. And he said that approximately, I think it was 2 months in October of 2020, or 19, the 5G was rolled out a couple months before the coronavirus occurred there. And so he's saying that this may have made the coronavirus worse because of the radiation, you know, the harmful radiation that comes from the 5G. And it's a very interesting article, and they have evidence. I mean, there's a lot of independent researchers that are saying now that there are some very harmful effects that come from these antennas.
This is fascinating, Carol, and I, because of full lines, I'm not going to delve too deep into this, but it's something this week I want to read more about, because there's, I think if there's a YouTube video, or it might have been a written article that ties a bunch of these odd outbreaks to different times when radio waves and X-rays and now 5G and all of those things bombard the human body,
right,
and the reactions that get created to it. And so just fascinating alternative views about what happens and what generates these viruses that find a way to try and hurt or kill us. And so I really appreciate you bringing that point to bear, and maybe we can talk more about it. In fact, if you wouldn't mind, you may have information. I don't. Go to 710knus.com, wake up with Randy Corporan, and email the show any of the information you have, and maybe we can talk further about it. I'm really, really grateful.
Okay, thank you. And was that 710knus.com you said?
Yep, and then find my show page, wake up with Randy Corporan. There's a big red button that says email the show.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. And all right, Carol's line is open. Lines have been full. 303-696-1971. Frank will be next, but let's play another song.
Democrats, Republicans, independents, everyone, wash your hands, stay inside, make sure the world is sanitized. Shut it down, lock your doors, it's cancel culture, getting bored. Nothing left for us to do but sit at home and watch the news. We didn't spread the virus, 'cause we were all at home, we had nowhere to go. We didn't spread the virus, we all just stayed at home, kept playing on our phone. Made it to the grocery store, no toilet paper anymore. I guess that's what we need the most. I don't know why, that's kinda gross. Frozen pizza, Lunchables, shopping baskets looking full. Stocking up on all the seeds, I'll save the world by gardening. We didn't spread the virus,
all right. 'Cause we were all... with full lines, it's funny, but... Texters are writing in, how do I get my hands on that article? I may have said my pencil, a texter thought so. It is I Pencil, an essay by Leonard Reed. The full title is I Pencil, My Family Tree, as told to Leonard E. Reed. It was first published in December 1958 in a magazine called The Freeman, and it is fantastic. So just Google iPencil. You'll find 100 different ways to read that article. Maybe we'll talk about that more next week. But with full lines, Frank in Denver is next. Thanks for waiting, Frank. Good morning.
Randy, I want to thank you for taking the time to share your moments with your dad. I know that you appreciated that. I think you will always look back on that and be thankful for your foresightedness to take that time with him, because you can't recreate those moments. He'll never be here again, and I know you wish you'd even taken more, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with sharing that on the radio with people.
Yeah,
there was a more human side to you.
Well, thank you. The response and the support, and just it was helpful to folks who lived through those things, and that really makes me feel good about talking about it, because I really wasn't sure. So thank you very much,
Frank. I can tell you wanted to unburden yourself with that, and really, it does, and I think it makes you a more feeling, more personable, effective JD, and that comes across with the way you perform in the courtroom, the way you allow both the opposing counsel and your side to express themselves and ultimately get to the right verdict.
Well, thank you very much, Frank, and I know you wanted to comment on pandemics. We've got full lines, so lay it on us.
I think we almost have to take a biblical view of this. You know, going back to the Book of Wisdom, the Old Testament, seven good years, seven bad years. I think if you're going to be effective in the future, there's thousands of viruses out there that could mutate and cause future pandemics. If we're going to look at the financial preparation for this, we almost have to save now for future. In other words, you could add 0.5% to the 12.5% of the Social Security, or 1% going forward. But also, I think the Fed seemed very flexible, because all they need is a truck full of green ink to keep printing. And any small business person or private person that could establish he had a such-and-such income, you know, could apply for an easy-to-get, low-interest loan to sustain him into the future till these things could blow over. I think we have to look forward into the future to prepare for things like that if we're going to be truly effective. And all this other medical stuff will come, and those things need to be stockpiled and done. I hate the grandstanding of the Congress, both sides. It's funny, Trump just said he never signed anything with a T before in his life. And it's sad to see politicians wait for that moment to try to just prove what they're doing.
Yeah.
We ought to do something going forward for our people who make this country work.
Frank, that's great. And yeah, Trump, when he signed it, before he put the ink on paper, he leaned back and said, "Mitch, I guess I can't chicken out now," after he said, "I've never signed anything with a T before." And you know, that may be the thinking. I'm still struggling with it, but for the short-term relief, I don't believe the president is going to leave this country on lockdown for an extended period of time, but that we've got to prop everybody, especially the small business and the corporations that employ hundreds of thousands of Americans.
We all need to do the Boy Scout thing. Be prepared going forward in our life.
Thank you, Frank. God bless you. Have a great weekend, sir.
Same to you.
All right. Frank's line is open, 303-696-1971. That's the only one, so grab it quick. But we do need to take our break right now. We'll spend just a few minutes with Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams on the other side. Losing confidence in Thomas Massie today. If not, we'll have his former chief of staff call in. My good friend Jim Paff, who worked with Massie for a long, long time. And we will continue with your calls as well. So appreciate you spending some Saturday with me right here on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
No. Turn that music I love down, because we have another washing song.
So you think you can just use your pant legs to dry? There are germs on those pant legs, so don't even try. Oh, baby, maybe air dry it, maybe.
I'd love to play those out, but full lines. We've got a guest on the line now, too. Connie wrote in on Facebook. Thanks for all the kind words on Facebook today, on my Twitter account, and, of course, the 710 KNUS app, text to studio. Those of you I have not responded to yet, I will before the end of the weekend, every single one, I promise. But Connie asked about how do we get those songs, and maybe I'll post them up on Facebook later, but just email me, 710KNUS.com, wake up with Randy Corporan, email the show button, and I can send you the links. You can find hundreds of those already out on YouTube, and one I was going to send to Adam, and I listened to the whole thing. It had some really bad words in it, so I was glad I didn't get that done. But we've got some serious business going on. We've been talking about it a whole different whole bunch of different perspectives, and a lot of people interested in iPencil. I'm surprised folks aren't more familiar with it. Just Google iPencil. It's a quick read. We've all got plenty of time. Just a fascinating way to understand how important, how powerful the engine of free economics can be. I don't mean no regulation. I just mean the economic engine of capitalism is so incredible. And it's why when conservatives, cold-hearted conservatives, talk about opening up the economy, we're actually talking about opening up everybody's ability to live, to pay their rent, to buy food, to put their kids through college, to pay for that new car, fix up that house, put money under the mattress, put it into a savings account, invest into companies via their mutual funds or the stock market. You can't shut that down and expect 330 million people in this country and all of the hundreds of millions of people around the world who benefit by the products and services and innovation in America. You can't just shut that down or not consider the immense destructive consequences of letting something like that happen for very long. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the president does. We've already seen the heavy hand of government with Jared Polis. Didn't talk about that as much as I'd hoped we would today, but we're going to talk a little bit about it now from the law enforcement perspective with my good buddy, one of the really good guys, Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Randy.
Thanks for being flexible. Looks like we will not get Thomas Massie today. He's driving from D.C. to Kentucky. Horrible reception, I'm told. We are going to talk to his former chief of staff, my good buddy Jim Paff, here before the end of the show, since he took such tremendous heat for saying no to the stimulus bill. Ken Buck called me last night, and I won't share that conversation until we can have Ken on. He's traveling, so is not available. He was also a no vote. That's informational for the audience. You're here for another reason, Steve. What is Weld County doing with the, air quotes, shelter-in-place order from the governor?
Well, I think we're doing about what everyone else is doing. We're sitting in our houses bored stiff and trying to find a reason to go to the grocery store. You know, honestly, Weld County probably would not have gone down this path. The commissioners weren't looking at doing a shelter-in-place. That wasn't in line with the information we were getting from our health department director. But, you know, the governor issued his order. So as a law enforcement agency, we're basically business as normal. Unfortunately, we still have crime to go out and deal with. And while being out of your house and, you know, not doing the things that are considered essential may be criminal in some people's eyes, there's a lot bigger fish for us to fry. So we're not spending a lot of time on that. We're just kind of letting people do the right thing and make the right decisions for themselves as it comes to the quarantine.
Big press around the country, primarily in Democrat-run cities or states, to release jail inmates. How is Weld County dealing with your jail population?
Our jail population is actually dropping right now because of what the courts are doing. The courts have really suspended much going on inside of their buildings. So any new arrests that are coming in are typically getting a personal recognizance bond. So people whose time or their sentences are ending are also getting out of the jail. So, our population is reducing just through those measures. We're not releasing anyone early. And at this point, you know, it's business as normal for our jail. We have medical staff that's monitoring anyone that needs to be monitored. But as of this point, we don't have any positive COVID-19 tests for any of our inmates. We've had a couple that that showed a little bit of a sign. We quarantined those individuals, but it ended up not being coronavirus related. So they're, again, we're just running business as normal.
George Brockler talked a bit about, you know, prosecutorial discretion on his great show now, 6 to 9 a.m. on Saturdays.
Sure.
And his, in, if I recall correctly, I didn't hear all of his comments, but he expressed his hope that law enforcement, you know, wouldn't be out there sitting at night with the lights off waiting for somebody to drive by and then pull them over to inquire if they're out for an essential purpose or whatever. Did you receive any guidance at all, any warning that this was coming down, any coordination whatsoever from the governor's office before the statewide ban was put into place?
No, we got no information that that was coming. And that's probably, you know, 50% of the challenge here is, you know, we're in total reactionary mode. And I think the governor was afraid that if he engaged us in conversation, the sheriffs or the police chiefs, that we would try to persuade him against doing this because it is so unenforceable. All that being said, no, we didn't get any pre-warning. We didn't have any discussion. We weren't invited. Or no representatives of the Sheriff's Association were invited to take part in any kind of discussion.
Yeah, I've just been wondering. I live in the Tri-County Health District, and so I saw this really onerous order that was issued by unelected bureaucrats, apparently without a whole lot of consultation with anybody. But I just wonder why, and I knew from my spies under the Capitol Dome that the governor had promised to notify legislators before he did anything like this, if he decided to do it, that he was going to notify them first. But that warning or that notification came out just almost right before he went ahead and made the announcement. And I just wonder if there couldn't have been, if it wouldn't have just been logical to have the governor, you know, get all of these different folks, representatives from all these different agencies who think they have the constitutional authority to keep us in our homes, and talk about it and say, rather than having, you know, 20 different districts with different orders and different standards, here's what the state is getting ready to do. We're going to do this thoughtfully and slowly. And then people wouldn't have so much time and resources and trying to figure this out and understand it. And then the governor comes along and basically says, look, here's my order. And unless your county or health agency that's giving you an order has harsher restrictions, my order controls. Just a horrible example of disorganization and reactive government in my mind.
Yeah, it definitely didn't. It didn't build any teamwork, I'll say that.
Yeah.
You know, a lack of discussion is what causes people to panic. A lack of knowledge is what causes people to panic. And so when these orders come out and we haven't had a chance to wrap our mind around what they mean or, you know, how they impact citizens, I mean, I can tell you all day Thursday, the phone lines at my office were lit up. I mean, every phone that could ring was ringing because people didn't know what to do. They had questions about how the order impacted them personally, and they couldn't find a place to get answers. You know, that's not the way of doing good government. It's just, and I know this is trying times, and it's easy to sit back and criticize, but, you know, a little bit of forward thinking, I think, could have stopped a lot of that criticism.
Well, it's fascinating, and I haven't read any updates, but I've heard that part of the governor's order bans motorcycle driving. Is that accurate?
I don't know if it bans motorcycle riding if you're going to one of the places that's considered essential.
Yeah.
I think the question would be is if you're just out riding just to ride.
Sure.
You know, would that draw some attention? You know, I suppose it could.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll be finding out next week because it looks like 60s throughout most of the week. So I guess we'll see how that all plays out. Steve, I always love talking to you. I've got full lines, little show left, but we'll stay in touch to see, especially if, you know, some kind of enforcement mechanisms come together. I've had people calling my law firm saying, hey, how can we file an injunction against this thing? And long talk with Rob Nadelson, constitutional scholar, a couple nights ago about the constitutionality, lack of constitutionality of this. So there's going to be some interesting consequences. And all of that is being said, whether or not I agree with this as a good idea for a short period of time to try and break the curve of this virus. But thank you for your time and your restraint in exercising your authority as the Weld County Sheriff. Go ahead. You had one more comment.
Well, I think, you know, during a time of election season where those legal challenges are likely to come from is from both political parties. You know, you want to talk about how disruptive this could be. This is right in the middle of assembly time.
Yeah.
And I can see both political parties really being at odds right now with this order, because this is kind of the fabric of what our nation is built on. Elections do matter.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing in Weld County. I've had texts from folks in Jefferson County. I am an Arapahoe County delegate and precinct leader and executive committee member, all kinds of things. And all of ours is by mail. We're doing voting by mail, candidates with videos. I received the whole packet electronically. I haven't even looked at it yet. But others are using Zoom and other, you know, conferencing techniques to actually still have kind of a live meeting. But, man, the consequences are incredible, and it's going to be interesting to watch this play out. I just hope people stay safe and healthy and smart and do the things that they themselves can control to help stop the spread of this virus. And I appreciate you, Steve. We'll be in touch.
Yeah, thanks, Randy.
All right. Ah, oh, man, full lines continue. I do want to spend a little time at the end of the show. Let's do this. Let's get through these, at least these last few calls. Who's been waiting the longest? Paul in Denver. We're going to try and keep these short, but thank you very much for waiting. Welcome.
Hey, Randy. Well, as a follow-up to your last call, Steve, in Weld County, as a sheriff, I'm wondering, my son, who's teenager, 17 years old. He has his own car. He's working at Chick-fil-A pretty much full time these days because school is out for the moment. And he enjoys his drive, you know, solo drives. He just drives around sometimes before all this happened. You just drive out to the mountains. You know, 8, 9 o'clock at night, he says, I want to go for a ride. And he just wants to go to like Lookout Mountain. He's going by himself. He's not meeting anybody, just goes out there, hangs out, comes back. Obviously, he's not putting anybody at risk, nor himself. Technically, the lockdown says you can't do that. So what would your advice be as an attorney, as a son of a law enforcement officer, given the conditions now? And if he does get stopped, how would you suggest he respond?
Well, the only advice I'll give on the air to this particular circumstance is the advice I give to anyone who comes in contact with law enforcement. First question out of your mouth after you provide your license and your registration is, you know, when they start asking you where you're going, what you're doing, if they do, is, do you suspect me of a crime? And if the answer to that question is yes, then politely tell the officer, I'm going to exercise my right to remain silent until I contact my attorney. Don't explain what you're doing, where you're going, why you're doing it. Just exercise your right to remain silent. We'll see if the officer wants to try and actually write a ticket or something, or just says, you know, these are the orders that are in place. Please comply. There's just no way to know how individual cops are going to react. But the sound criminal defense response, if you think you're being suspected of a crime, is ask that question. And then politely exercise your right to, you can even say one more sentence. I'm happy to cooperate, Your Honor. Happy to cooperate, officer. But I'm going to exercise my right to remain silent until I have my attorney present. And then stay quiet, period.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to talk further about that, you know, send me a text or a Facebook chat or reach out to me off air, call my law firm or whatever. I'd be happy to give you more personalized conversation about that, but very, very interesting questions. And Paul, I've been driving since I was 13 years old, and I was driving before I had a license. I was fixing cars before I had a license to drive them for other people. And so I get it. I still love to drive, and it is extremely relaxing. And if you're sit in your car, you're not harming anybody, or on the back of your Harley, you're not harming anybody. You're not near to anybody. You're not spreading germs. You're not doing anything. So some of the many, many ramifications of this thing. Thank you very much for an excellent question, Paul. We can talk more later if you'd like. Have a good rest of your weekend. Post on the Larimer County Facebook page from Steve Johnson, Commissioner. The governor doesn't have the decency to consult with his local public health officials. We knew nothing of what he was doing. We are going to be responsible and take care of our citizens regardless of the lack of communication, which is deplorable from Denver. And what the commissioner means is from under the the Golden Dome. That was on the Text to Studio app, and so many of those coming in this morning. I will respond to each and every one. Phone lines are still full. Let's get to Tim in Thornton. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, Randy. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Yeah, can you get off your speaker, buddy? Get close to your phone. Yeah. You coming back? Okay.
I'm really surprised you took my phone call.
Let's make it quick, buddy.
Semi-controversial, but to me, this is a pre-pandemic. There's only been less than 10,000 deaths in America, so it's not quite reached pandemic proportions. I kind of feel like this was a pre-pandemic slash fake pandemic scare meant to bring down the U.S. economy and move us more towards, you know, pushing the left socialist ideas on our economy with all the unemployed that's going to happen and the hospitals overwhelmed. We're going to be pushed into socialized medicine and dependent upon our government for paychecks. And I just think that, you know, worldwide we're looking at less than 30,000 deaths out of 1.8 billion people, less than 3,000 deaths here in the U.S., out of 36 or 360 million, and the numbers are just not adding up. My rights are being taken care of, being taken away. I feel like, Tim, I'm under house arrest right now. If I leave, I'm gonna step in.
I think you've made your point very, very well, and I hope we get a chance to talk a lot more about all these ramifications next week on the show. 7.8 billion is the world population right now, which really makes that denominator a big one. And the deaths in the United States as of right now are 112,468 with the illness, 1,841 total deaths so far. So thank you very much. Let's see. Do we have time for one more? Let's at least do Dave. He's been waiting way too long in Centennial. Dave, keep it short and sweet, please, sir.
The short part of it is, I really think this is a plan on Polis to destroy the economy in the state so he and the Democrats can go to the do away with Tabor to raise our taxes. Amony Slade came out with a great proposal: reduce the capital gains tax right now down to 0 or 5 or 10%. It will infuse capital coming into the country beyond belief and re-energize the entire economy. Take care.
Bye. That is wonderful. And talk about short and sweet. Well done, Dave. I may reach out to I'm not even going to try. Her books are so fantastic. Her sort of histories on presidential figures and others are just out of this world. That'd be a great guest for next week, Whippersnapper. We'll talk about that later. We do need to take our break. Phone lines remain full. Dave's line is open now, 303-696-1971. We're going to check in with my good buddy, the chief of staff to the Republican House minority, works very closely with Pat Neville and others. He's off and on with us during when the legislature is actually in session. But he also was the chief of staff for Thomas Massey, and his former boss is taking an awful lot of flack this morning, and we'll get his take on all of that when we come back as well. So final segment of the show, line up on the phones if you didn't get in before and you want to, feel free, 303-696-1971. We'll start it out with Jim Paff on the other side. Final segment of Wake Up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Not enough time to play any more of those dumb, funny, hand-washing coronavirus songs. But if you want them, send me a text, 710KNUS.com. I'll get them all, even throughout the weekend. And or you can reach out to me in all the other ways. Email me at 710KNUS.com. Find the show page. Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. Hit the big red button. Phone lines continue to be full. We'll do what we can. I do want to spend a minute or two with my good friend Jim Paff. I saw this, though, from Alan Franklin, the director of Progress Now Colorado. On Twitter, the legitimization of Trump by the American media is the greatest act of sadomasochism in history. Even now, Trump's chaotic rage tickles the media's compulsion to let what bleeds lead, which legitimizes him. Trump is the karma of our nation's vast hubris. And a guy who is trolling him, the account is called Ian Silveri. It's a trolling account for Ian Silveri, who writes for the Denver Post, also works for Progress Now. Hubris, rage, sadomasochism. Great words, Alvin. You're so right. We have at Progressive Now want to make America suck again. We here at Progress Now want to make America suck again. Trump's evil positivity about our country is so wrong. We hate it. And since my next guest, Jim Paff, was a media personality, did talk radio of his own for a long, long time, you understand as well as anybody, Jim, how important it is for people, for the media, to try and keep Donald Trump off the television right now. A lot of stations are not even willing to cover his daily coronavirus press briefings because his popularity is rising and he's showing leadership in this time of trouble.
You know, I hardly think that Alan Franklin can disclaim anyone for chaotic rage. He is the epitome of chaotic rage. I think that that's kind of funny and silly.
Yeah.
And he's kind of a silly caricature of himself to begin with, but Ian Silveri too. But how funny. You know, Trump's approval ratings are rising precipitously over his handling of this situation. I doubt there are too many people who could occupy that office who could do as good a job as he has to make this happen. And he is quite right when he says he inherited a crappy system,
yeah,
which he had to try to quickly fix to get through this. You know, the CDC...
Jim, let me just step in real quickly because we have a pretty poor signal. Is there anything you can do to make that call better?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe there's background noise.
No, it's
anyway,
it's all bad.
Yeah, there was some background noise.
No, it's all bad.
All bad?
Yeah,
hold
you're...
Let me switch here. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Sorry. I'll get there. Is that any better?
Yes, 10,000 times better. That's great.
Okay, I don't know what happened.
Yeah,
sorry about that.
We're only going to have about four or 5 minutes, so I just want to ask you a quick question. What did you think when you saw your former boss, Representative Thomas Massie, being ripped to shreds, including by the President of the United States, for his very principled, Ken Buck joined him, their no vote on spending $2.2 trillion over the course of a 880-page bill that nobody read?
Well, I was proud to see Ken walking down with Thomas on an when a bunch of reporters were following him down the stairs of the Capitol, standing there with Thomas in solidarity. That was very pleasant to see. As regards to the president, you know, cooler heads can prevail here. Thomas had a quite a appropriate case to make. I mean, Article 1, Section 5, Clause 1 of the Constitution says each house shall be the judge of the elections, returns, and qualifications of its own members, and a majority of each shall constitute a quorum to do business. Thomas's point was we need to have a quorum here to do business, particularly on the biggest spending bill in world history. I mean, this was a huge, huge thing, and people need to be on the record for it. So I was very proud of Thomas, and he's a strong guy, and he doesn't do this just to, you know, stick it to people. He does it because this is a constitutional principle, and we need to operate in a constitutional manner in this country, especially when we're it's important every time, but especially on big bills and big decisions like this one.
Yeah, I had a great talk, call from Ken Buck last night and heard about him, you know, walking down with Massie, who was just inundated by the reporters and everything. And Ken's traveling, so we couldn't get him on today. And obviously I'm not going to speak for him on his decision, but, you know, this reaction, I've listened to Steve Bannon and big, successful money guys talking about, you know, forget about all of the consequences, forget about constitutionality or proper processes right now. This is an emergency. We have to keep businesses and individuals and landlords and everybody else from dying, or we're not going to be able to bring ourselves back out of the mess that this virus is causing right now. What's your response to all of that?
Well, Randy, there were ways to do this that would have been far more appropriate. If we had limited, first of all, this thing got delayed because of Nancy Pelosi, not Thomas Massie. That's the first thing.
Sure.
The second thing is, when you're just, what really these bills do every time, and this is why we have to take them seriously, this bill is taking $2 trillion out of the economy to put $2 trillion back in the economy through the federal government to fix the economy.
Exactly.
Well, you know, there's an argument to be made, leave the money in the economy. But another approach to this would have been to restrict such a thing to loans to businesses to help them remain solvent that would be paid back and at interest. And I think the very first instinct, the president has good instincts, great instincts on this stuff. And his very first shot out of the box was let's have a payroll tax holiday till the end of the year. And that would have been a good thing for both individuals and businesses, because a lot of people forget this. All your listeners might forget, when they have their taxes taken out of their paycheck, those payroll taxes that support the Social Security programs and Medicare, their employer pays the other half of that tax. So you've benefited the employee and the employer. And then someone would argue, well, but that doesn't help employees that don't have jobs. Yeah, but it also might have helped employees keep jobs, because that's 14% of their payroll that is not going to be paid anymore. And that's a real benefit. So I think, there were better ways to go about this, in my opinion, than just throwing money out there. $1,200 per person is only going to last for a month.
Yeah.
We've got a few months of recovery on this. There were better ways to do it, and it should have been discussed as such. So,
and
however urgent that it was needed.
And $1,200 isn't going to go very far for the vast majority of people as well. And we'll be exploring these issues as we see how this all plays out, for sure. Last question, need a relatively short answer. What kind of forewarning did you and the state legislature have that Governor Polis was going to pull this huge hammer out of his toolbox and whack the state of Colorado upside the head the way he did?
Well, I think he's been honest about taking stricter measures publicly, so I think everyone knew that was a possibility. I'm really disappointed that we've gone so far on this. I think there are better approaches to this. The testing, though, and the CDC's failure in all that has put us in a precarious situation. But we've closed down chiropractors now.
Yeah.
But we're keeping liquor stores. And
Jim, I got the you know what it means when I got the music in the background. Let's explore this further next week on your regular segment. Thank you very much for the time. I'll give you a call off air. Really do appreciate you being available for us this morning. God bless you. And to all the full lines, all the callers on full lines, so very sorry we didn't get to everybody. Thanks for all the support today. What a wonderful, wonderful feeling. Don't forget to watch No Safe Spaces, Dennis Prager, Adam Carolla's movie, nosafespaces.com. It is free for a limited time. Jimmy Sangenberger this afternoon, Backbone Radio tomorrow night. Bird Talk is next. I'm Randy Corcoran. Always remember, never forget, God loves you, and so do I.